session number 9422, reel 1.
Mr. Harold Hayward, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your background before the war, Mr. Hayward, when you were born?
Yes, I was born in 12th of February 1897, and that was in the small town of Ulster in Warwickshire, and I led a normal boy's existence there, full of escapades, and my memory, as it happens, is better to what happened then in the 8 years then than what it is 8 minutes ago. And I have in fact sent down to the Historical Society a recollection of all what happened to the town and to me during those 9 years. And I've had a letter back from the president, and he said that yes, he was very pleased to receive these bits of information which they hadn't got.
What was your father's profession, John?
My father was a farrier, and he and we left Ulster because he bought a business in Bristol in 1906. We went there then, and I went to an elementary school. Mainly, it was my mother knew that the scholarships were more available in large towns than in small country towns, and that's so it happened. After 2 years, I sat for an entrance examination to the Colson School. It's a public school now, boarding school, and it was there from 1909 to 1914. I finished up in the sixth form and was a prefect. Then in 1914 I left.
Before we go on to that, while you were at Colston, was there any involvement in the officers' training corps at all?
No, there wasn't. We had a drill sergeant, but an officers' training corps only started in 1915. Real officers' training corps, when we sent put three boys in for the standards exam. For the first time the school had ever done it, and they took 1, 2 and 3 positions.
So what did the drill sergeant teach you that you had?
Well, we knew how to turn properly to the right and to the left and march in formation. There was a rifle range and we shot a small ball and we used that when you were in the higher forms of the school. So the other than that, there wasn't much military instruction.
Did you enjoy what military instruction you had? Were you keen on it?
Oh yes, I liked the drill and the different formations, you know, that you have on parade, you know. Form in square and words, you know, my memory is exceedingly bad, but the normal simple parade drills in formation.
Now what happened in 1914 when?
Well, I had left school then and there was talk about Bristol raising its own battalion.
What career had you planned, though, when you left school?
Well, I was going into the teaching career, but I met a friend. In fact, it's the one who lent whose history of the battalion that I've got, and. I said, when are you going to enlist, Tom? He said, I enlisted today. Now, up till then, that was in the early part of September 1914. But prior to that, my father, who had endeavoured and would have liked to have joined up in the South African War in the Yeomanry, urged me to join up in the month of August. And I did try once or twice, but particularly in the cavalry or the horse regiments, the Yeomanry. In fact, I was so keen to get into a horse regiment because my father, being a farrier, I was accustomed to horses, and I went down to the North Somerset Yeomanry in to their Bristol recruiting office, and they just wouldn't look at me. So I went to Bath, which was their headquarters. I went down on my own to Bath, and they said, "Well, the only people we're taking now for our second line have to have one of or two qualifications. Either you are an ex-yeoman, or you've seen active service in the Boer War." I said I was in the cradle in the beginning of the Boer War, so nothing happened. But the orderly room sergeant for the Yeomanry Regiment was a friend of my father's, and he said that we shall be opening our second line, and I'll drop you a card. You can tell your son, come down straight away, and you'll be sure of being admitted. Everybody then was endeavouring to get into a regiment of their choice if possible. But I met this friend
Why was everybody so keen? Why were you so keen?
Because the war was going to be over at Christmas, and we wanted to see it before it was over. That was the normal conversation around the country at that time. It'll all be over by Christmas, and if you want to see anything of the British army against the Germans, you've got to get out there very soon.
Did you think you were going to see? I mean, what did you think the war was going to be like?
Well, we thought it was going to be not unlike what had happened in the Boer War. I remember reading, my father himself would have they persuaded him to try and make him the farrier sergeant of the Warwickshire Yeomanry, and they'd have given him three stripes straight away if he'd would have accepted, and he was keen to go. But my younger sister had just been born, and my mother dissuaded my father from going out and into the battlefield and leaving her with two very young children. I myself was only three or four at the time, but my sisters were younger than that, so my father did not go, though he would have liked to have done so, in the Warwickshire Yeomanry. What would you like me to touch on? You just give me
What do you remember about the day war was actually declared, August the 4th?
Oh, well, I do remember that. Because I think it was the bank holiday of that year, but on the 2 days previously, rumour got round the town, and I remember going down to Templemead Station to see the naval reservists who had been called together, they went off in force, doubtless to join their ships at one or other of the naval ports. I saw that 2 days 2 days before the actual declaration of war. This was a preparation, you know. They were reservists who could be called on, you know, in the event of war. I think that was part of their engagement terms. I think it was it 5 years in on service, and then seven years on the reserve, and they were called. And there was great excitement. The whole of the route from the centre of the town of Bristol to Templemead Station was lined with folk, you know, all cheering, because there was a war fever, without a doubt, and then...
What was the nature of this war fever? How did you feel about it?
Well, we felt that the Germans wanted to grind the whole of Europe down and make the Kaiser, you know, the chief person in the world, and some of the Daily Paper, particularly the Daily Mail, used to carry a series of stories, such as Britain at Bay, Britain invaded, if you read them, you know, it fired your imagination, and so we were all, we were in large measure, by reading and by conversation, ready for war and ready to go for war. In fact, to go to war, to be soldiers, you know, actually in the field, apart from the objective, why we were there, that is to say, to drive the Germans out of Belgium, because the Germans had broken an international arrangement that if there was another continental war, Belgium would not be invaded. They did invade, therefore everybody felt that they're prepared to do anything to attain their ends, and so we must stop them, and the idea was they would be stopped by Christmas 1914.
And you felt very much a part of that feeling?
Oh, I was caught up with it. Yes, I was entirely caught up, as most young men were. Of course, I was only 17 and a half, but even with, you might say, a teenage, I felt that, but probably people who were, say, between 20 and 30, they were infected, if that's the word, even more. And when this friend of mine, I met him on the night of September the 14th, I said, "When are you going to join up, Tom?" He said, "I joined up today." Oh, of course, that was sufficient for me the next day to go down to the Colston Hall with the hope of enlisting in the newly formed battalion by the city, called eventually Bristol's Own, official title 12th Battalion of the Gloucestershire Regiment.
What exactly happened that morning when you went down to enlist?
Well, I went to the recruiting table, and the recruiting sergeant was there. I had, of course, thought to myself, I knew that the age of enlistment was 19, so it was no good me telling decided that I wouldn't tell the truth, and only just that I would say I was 19 instead of 17 and a half. But I wasn't asked how old was I. I was asked, when were you born? And without to that question, I gave the answer I'd given throughout my life. 12th of February 1897. And then the recruitment said, "Well, recruitment sergeant, I don't know whether we can take you at that age." Oh, he must have seen my looks were all sad, and he said, "But if you go outside the Colston Hall where the recruiting office was, run round three times that large building, you'll be 3 years older when you come back." So that was a hint, good enough hint for me. And when I came back, he said, "How old are you?" And I said, 20. And so that got me into the battalion, where people I knew quite well, boys who'd been a bit senior to me at the school, were still there. Even one of the masters had enlisted there.
Did you have any other, a medical inspection or anything like that before you were accepted?
Well, I cannot remember, but I would think that was so. But the fact that I could tell them that I played in the first 15 rugby, that must have told them that I was fairly fit, and I believe I had an eye test, and I know they measured me. I do remember the eye test and the measurement, and they said, "Let's have a look at your teeth," because they were turning down or refusing the application to mend from some Bristolians who couldn't be said to be in the mercantile world, and they were turning them down on bad teeth. But those of us who at that era had been brought up to clean your teeth, that seemed to be one of the requirements to get into the army.
What happened then after you'd been accepted? What was it?
There was drill. Now,
the same day, though. I mean,
we did an hour a day drill. Each person, of course, in our ordinary clothes. They didn't teach me any more than in that respect than I'd already been taught at school. But it was a little amusing to hear the drill sergeant, ex-regular man who was a commissionaire, trying to get his boss, to whom he opened the door, to do the right thing. No, sir, not right heel and left toe, but left heel and right toe, sir. Because we had one or two of the people, bank managers who were dressed in that way, top hat and frock coat, come along in those days. When we got into khaki, there wasn't quite so much of the sir, but from the sergeant to the private.
So, but when you enlisted that first day, you just went back home that night, did you, and then reported the next day for drill? Yes.
We all did. The battalion filled up very quickly to its requirement of four companies of up to 250 strong, and you have seen them there, and that's what we did, just within the Colston Hall, this large building. The next, I think, within
What did your mother say when she found you'd enlisted underage?
Well, she knew, of course, that I had done so, as in fact all my friends, my contemporaries, were all under 19 years of age. So I had an answer. I could say, well, look about Harold Howell and Tom Webber and people like that whom she knew quite well. That she also knew that they were underage, but everyone wanted to get into this battalion, which been written about a lot in the papers, because the city fathers were backing it by putting their hands down the pocket, and it's quite possible that the city itself supported it financially.
Was she upset at all, though? Was your father upset at all?
On the contrary, he was upset when he used to come home, come in and ask me prior to that, had I enlisted? I said, well, I've tried to, but they won't take me. So that satisfied my father that I was like other friends' sons. I had joined the army.
But your mother, what was she?
I won't say that mother was against it, but I think she was quite content by reason of the fact that I was with my already friends round about.
What about your friends who hadn't been able to enlist or hadn't enlisted? How did they react to your news?
Oh, I know. Some said, I'm indispensable. They won't let me go. The firm won't let me go. If I did enlist, they wouldn't take me when I came back out of the army, because they said, you're indispensable, and before you can go, we don't want the whole office staff denuded. You'll have to be a replacement, which was reasonable enough. Some, of course, made that the argument why they didn't go at all, that they were indispensable, till the call up came in 1917. I can go on.
Could you tell me more about the training you did while you were billeted at home, still in
Bristol. Yes, we went from, you want to say, square batting in the Colston Hall to platoon or company training in the Territorial Artillery grounds up White Ladies Road, Bristol. And we used to be, we were then found ourselves in our respective platoons. I was in B Company, and which was 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I was in 5 platoon, and I found myself with my friends in the same section, and we'd gotten regimental numbers then. Mine was 14314. I didn't point out to my mother that added up to 13, and we were there doing our platoon, and you've seen the parade, haven't you, in that book, where the company was there, and we met our headquarters staff there, Colonel, oh dear me, initial, I can't remember, and
what was his name?
Colonel Burgess was our first commanding officer, and was largely responsible for arranging the formation of the battalion into its various parts. As you see, the Lord, it was entirely a civic affair, because the Lord Mayor and past Lord Mayors were all on a committee to further the recruitment and the operation of this battalion to represent Bristol in the war against the Kaiser.
What about this platoon training? What exactly did that consist of?
Well, it's what was learned, what we learned later, it was called square batting. You know, doing all the movements in a platoon of, say, 50 men, you know, wheeling and forming fours, and
you didn't get onto anything else while you were at home?
Not while we were at the White Ladies Road. It was there was no room for that. It was just big enough, you know, for a platoon, perhaps 4 platoons independently. First of all, we had to start to learn platoon drill, working together, and then afterwards, as a company, we could do movements, company movements, and then eventually, of course, there we could actually form up as a battalion, but not large enough for battalion drill, just company drill only.
So how long were you doing this for? When?
I would think up till about early December 1914, by which time the buildings are just on the Somerset side of Bristol, which had been a white city like you have in London, that was just convenient barracks for us. They hadn't to put up any other buildings. They had to adapt them, but not put any other buildings up than the halls for which this white city was giving displays.
It was an old exhibition ground.
Old exhibition ground, yes.
So you were moved into the buildings. How was that organised?
Well, we went down there still. We went down there still in our civilian clothes, and we got our regimental clothes then, khaki, and then again we were drilled with rifles down there, drilled where we weren't armed at all at the Colston Hall, but when we were down at Ashton Gate, as we called it, we had rifles. They were not Lee Metfords, which were being used then. No, sorry, they were not Lee Enfields, which were then in use by the regular army. They were Lee Metfords. It was just are to get acquainted with the handling of a rifle. Lee Metfords had been used in the Boer War. They were much longer than Lee Enfields, which had an improved mechanism.
What other training? Can you take me through all the training you did while
yes.
you were there? What
well, we had gymnastics. We had a gymnasium, and we had a VC sergeant major as our gymnastic instructor, and he was regarded with very great respect. Very nice fellow. And then we had lectures down there too on the tactics, the reason for the tactics, both in open warfare and what we thought would be wood fighting. We thought we'd have a lot of that, and presumably taking a line from either the Boer War or the Franco-British War. Prussian War. Then we were put on sentry duty because we were there, and we had to take our turn as battalion sentries, you know, on post throughout the 24 hours, 2 hours on and 4 hours off at the significant points to stop people getting in, and it was there we had battalion drill. I'll say a step further in involvement than company drill. What to do when the adjutant called out and asked to sing from the company company commander for to the whole battalion to comply and conform to what had to be done to meet his requirements, the battalion requirements.
Besides that drill, did you do any route marches?
Oh yes, full yes, that's so. Yes.
What were they like?
They were to get us fit to do marching, and we did it by platoons, and a platoon of 50, and then the main company. Route marches were by company to get us fit to carrying. By then we had got ammunition. We'd got our equipment. I don't think we'd got our ammunition then, but we got equipment, leather equipment. But that was just quite different from the normal Kitchener Battalion, which had web equipment. We were people used to look at us when we got out to France with this leather equipment. But I think that was bought by the city. It was available, but the normal material was a web equipment, which you will have seen in the yes. And we mostly, as I say, we were on the Somerset side of Bristol, and we did many route marches, both in Ladysmith Park, which was a park. Where we did some of our field training in Long Ashton, a village just a quarter of a mile away, and also long route marches to get our feet, you know, hardened to it, and generally, and then once a month we probably route march through the city of Bristol, you know, with bayonets fixed, and just to let the citizens see what their own battalion, their own citizens looked like when they were turned into soldiers. That is when the colonel would ride at the head of the regiment.
What would you do while you're on a route march? Did you sing or anything like
oh
that?
Oh yes, and we sang the